Good morning. I want to thank you once again for allowing me to stand up here and bring to you God's Word as He has given it to me. Before I begin, I want to give a personal thanks on behalf of Hannah and myself. It means a lot to have a church that stands behind you, and you've all been praying for us as we're going through this missionary journey. A lot of times things don't go as fast or in the way that we think they're going to go, but it is such a relief, a pleasure, a wonderful thing whenever we're asked if our church stands behind us, if our church supports us, and we're able to say without a doubt that we have that support from our home church, and that means so much. So I just want to say huge thanks for all your prayers and support. Also, in addition to that, for those of you that don't come to the Sunday morning early praise and worship time, I really want to tell you that you are missing out, because for those of us who come, we know that our worship does start at that moment. When we go through those songs, you would not believe how those songs tie in to the Sunday school lessons a lot of times, and all the way through the sermon that day. You just can tell that God has been giving Linda and whoever gets all the music together, it's not them that's doing it, and they'll tell you that, but it is God that's working through that music. A lot of times you hear those songs that you've been going through something hard, and you feel that those songs were for you specifically. So I encourage you to come and let your worship expand a little bit if you're not already coming. All right, so today we're going to be reading Matthew chapter 16. If you'll turn with me, we'll read the most perfect word of God that we have, inerrant, infallible. We're going to begin with verse 13, reading through verse 28, Matthew 16, 13 through 28. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. May the Lord's blessing be on the reading of his holy word. If you have read the title of today's sermon, titled "The God I Know," that might lead you to believe that I intend on standing here to give my personal testimony. But that's not the case. The reason it says "the God I know" is because it's to be personalized. For each person to read it as "the God that I know." So when you read it, it's the God that you know. That's not to suggest that we all serve a different God. Instead, it's to acknowledge that we experience God in different ways. So, while it's the God that I, Justin, know, it's also the God that Kevin knows, the God that Jill knows, and so forth and so on. As we look at today's scripture, we see Jesus is asking the people, who do people say that I am? And as we see their answers, we can tell that they really didn't know who Jesus truly was, as they may have referred to him as John the Baptist or other prophets of Jeremiah, come back to life, reincarnated. But then, when asked, the disciples, who am I? Of course, we see Peter spoke up and gave perfect answer. You are the one true God, Son of the living, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he could have given many answers. He had been following Jesus for some time. They had seen many things that Jesus had done, healing people, multiplying food, exercising demons. He had command over those as well. So many answers he could have given, but there was only one answer that would include all of those things, because those are only the things that the Son of God could do here on earth. So this brings me to the focus of today's sermon, today's message. Who is the God I know to you? Who is he in your own words? Obviously, we can echo the words of Peter, but I also encourage you to personalize that and to add to it. Pastor Tim has been saying for some time now that how we all have our different stories. We all have those experiences. So if you would, this morning, I ask you all to think about your story, those hard times that you have endured through. Times in your life when you went through something that you just thought it was so unbearable. And if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you got through those times only because of the God that you serve, would you stand with me this morning? Acknowledging that you couldn't have done those things on your own. That it was through the one true God who delivered you through those times. Now, if you would, look around. We're not alone. God is there for all of us. As a group, that's the God that we know. But you individually, that's the God that I know, who is there through it all. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, as we think about those tough times that we've been through, there's another quality of the God that I know that's much less talked about and mentioned. The God that I know is also frustrating and confusing. I don't think that I'm alone in that. I was hoping for an amen. Nobody's ever been confused by God's choice or His plan. It's been around a long time, since the beginning. When I read the story of Adam and Eve in the beginning, I can't think that they must have had some sort of confusion or frustration whenever God gave them that beautiful paradise and then He put that tree right in the middle that they weren't allowed to touch. We can look at Abraham. God promised him a son, a descendant, that would be multiplied, and when he was finally given that son, God asked him to sacrifice that one promised son. Could that be a little confusing or frustrating? And then as we look at today's scripture, Jesus has asked Simon who he was, and Peter gave that answer, recognizing, acknowledging that Jesus was the Son of God. He has been following and learning from the perfect example, and now Jesus is telling him that he has to go and suffer and die. And Peter acted upon his frustration and said, no. Because as people on this earth, we don't always understand God and His plan. But He always has that plan. It's been set in motion since the beginning. It's always been there. But those parts of the plan that we don't understand, that confuse us and frustrate us and get us just to say, God, why? Why does it have to be this way? That's okay for us not to understand, because that's the time that we start looking for answers, because we want to know why. That's the time that we search through God's Word. That's the time we reach out to our fellow Christians, our family, friends, and we get together. And the 9/11... there's not a whole lot of things that's happened in Earth's history that has brought more people together than that disaster. And in these times of trials, it brings us closer to God. So, following God is not an easy thing, and we know that. We know that we're going to suffer. If you didn't, then perhaps you missed the part that we just read where it says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross to follow me. That doesn't sound like a walk in the park. So even though the God I know, He loves me, He frustrates me at times, He also can forgive me, knowing that I am but a human. I am but a person who can't possibly understand His plan. But I do have faith, and He uses those trying times to grow that faith as well. And the God I know is a giving God. Because as Jesus foretold His death and suffering to the disciples, it didn't end there. He went through with it. God gave it all. So many qualities. I've only listed a few. There's so many qualities of God, but those qualities that we experience in our lives, each one of us individually. These are the qualities that shape our answer. Who is God? Who is Jesus to you? Yes, He is the Son of the true living God who died on the cross. But to me, He's more than that. He's a God who is, as I said to the kids, He's always there. He never leaves. And though I falter, though I fail, though I make mistakes, He is always there ready to forgive me. To choose a person like me with no experience in teaching, no background in seminary, to go across the world, wherever it may be, to preach His gospel when I am so unfit. So I encourage us each today, let those experiences that God has brought you through, by our own admission, we know that He was the only one who could have brought us through those times, and we need to let those experiences continue to mold that answer that we have, and not just give the answer that Jesus is the Son of God and we serve the one true living God, but tell why. Add to it, make it personal, because that's what people respond to. Why do you believe that He's God? We have the Bible that we know to be true, but we also have all those things that God has delivered us through. Now, today's lesson might be a little short, but I couldn't get away from it. And it's been, this lesson is just, what God has said is just keeps resonating. And every time when Pastor Tim has got up here, I have just felt it, that we all have those stories, so use them.